In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, God's word says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come near and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." You know, I've really had fun with that slide. It's been one of my favorites, as I say every time. It's got a sort of a nostalgic look to it. I guess maybe the older I get, the more sentimental I get, but you know, I could almost claim that's a house we used to live in. And I'll go ahead and get some more mileage since Mother's here tonight. I'll say that could very well be Mother there, and Daddy, and Denise, and Paul, and of course I'm not in the picture. I was making the picture, and so that's why I'm not in it. But you know, it just looks like something right straight out of the early 1960s, and you know, one of the things that I like about it is that picture kind of reminds us of a sense of wholesomeness that we universally used to equate with the family, but a sense of wholesomeness that may not always be there in every typical family today. For the month of March, we've been studying from the source, using as our subject for personal study, seeing beyond myself to be a better family member. We've talked a lot about the need to be able to see beyond ourselves, to refuse to let selfishness stand in the way of accomplishing the things that we need to accomplish. We've talked about the matter of service and serving God and serving one another, and how selfishness can sometimes keep us from doing what we really have a potential to do, but it prevents us. And selfishness, as we said last Sunday night, I believe, if you were to look at pretty much any family problem or troublesome situation and dig down deep enough, you would find as a major element in a lot of the problems the matter of selfishness. Selfishness has a way of working itself into some of the most important things in our lives. And so in every way, we need to make every effort possible to see beyond ourselves. And we want to be able to do that in order to be a better family member. Now, we've already talked about God's commands. We called it God's insistent advice to husbands, based on what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And then last Sunday night, we talked about wives that are winners, based on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we saw those things that are commanded, those things that God commands. You could say God demands from godly husbands and godly wives. What about children? Has God given any commands to children? Well, you bet He has. In fact, we read one of them a few minutes ago there from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. I suppose it could be debatable as to how far the term youth, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, and it is pretty well understood that He's not talking just to those who are in their childhood. But get this, it's interesting to observe the fact that pretty much everything that God addresses to children has an application whether they are in their childhood years or whether they are children who are older, yet they are still subject to God's requirements for children. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight as we study a lesson that I will call God Speaks to Children. I've picked out four passages of Scripture, two from the Old Testament, a couple from the New Testament, and we're going to First of all, we're going to go through and read those, and then we'll back up and look at some of the lessons that they present as God speaks to children. And we're going to begin, first of all, with Psalm 34 and verse 11. You can turn there if you'd like. I'll have the text on the screen. Psalm 34, verse 11, where God says through the psalmist, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Two very important points are made there, more than two, but two that jump out at us. First of all is the command, "Listen to me." And then, of course, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." From that passage, we'll go on to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verse 22. There the wise man writes, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." You know, every time I read that passage and I realize that Bill Cosby is no longer regarded as a wholesome entertainer, but you know, he said a lot of really good, neat things in the days before we learned of such a such a terrible secret life that he lived. But one of the things that I remember hearing him telling about was a conversation between he and his son when his son had done something to get really crossways with him. And he said, "I told him, listen, boy, I brought you into this world and I can take you out." And until I really read this passage, I didn't know that that had a biblical basis. Here the wise man says, "Listen to your father who gave you life. He brought you into this world. You owe him the fact that you are alive. And do not despise your mother when she is old." Let's go over to the New Testament now, to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, probably the most familiar passage that we'll take a look at. Again, this is addressed specifically to children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land." Now, that's a quotation, or there is a quotation contained in that verse from the Old Testament, not just some obscure passage in the Old Testament, but from back there in Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments that have been misunderstood by a lot of people and lifted up and separated out from the rest of God's commandments there, as though there's something in those ten that means you can forget about everything else that he says. But the point that I'm making is that this matter of honor your father and mother is something that not only Paul brings to mind here, but he also refers to the promise that was attached to that. And we can go all the way back to Exodus chapter 20, and I believe it's verse 12, where God originally stated that matter of the promise that's attached to that command. Jesus made reference to it in Mark chapter 7 when he was disputing with the Pharisees regarding the way that they were in some fashion treating even their parents. The promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The last passage that we'll look at in this list is Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, which basically says the same thing, except in a little different way. "Children, obey your parents in everything." That's the rendering of the English Standard Version. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." You know, I like the very plain and straightforward way that is stated. Obey your parents, children, in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, let's back up and sort of sum everything up and and look first of all at what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. He says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Children, listen. It is important that you fear the Lord. In fact, we could say, above all things, get this one right to start with, fear the Lord. Now, that word fear is a word that causes us a little bit of difficulty. It occurs many, many times in Scripture. There are a few different Greek and Hebrew words which are translated into the one English word fear. But on this occasion, in this statement, when the psalmist says, fear the Lord, he's referring to something that comes really close to what we would call reverence. In fact, the David Phillips' definition of fear in that verse is moral reverence with urgency. Because you see, the urgency is implied in the kind of fear. In other words, this fear is a fear that ought to take priority. This reverence is something that is so very urgent, nothing should get in the way of it. Fear the Lord. And then from the second passage, Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to and respect your parents. I was talking with a friend of mine, an older gentleman. Yes, I mean older than me. He may not have been older than some of you, but he was older to me. And we were talking about children and grandchildren and so forth, and he has two children, and he a boy and a girl, and he was talking about how different they had been, and he was talking about the trouble that parents today have with children when they reach their teenage years, rebelling against their parents and refusing to do what their parents say. Now, I know we've got some folks over here that really set the example for the right way to do things like that. Derek, you don't have to have such a hard look on your face. But, you know, it is a universal problem that children don't really like to listen to their parents in every regard, and they sometimes go to the extreme of showing disrespect. But guess what? That's not a problem that is peculiar to the 21st century. That's a problem that's always been a problem, because even God saw the need to emphasize the fact that children need to listen to their parents. Listen to your father and show respect to your mother. Every child, as I said, is different. And I believe, in all honesty, we should thank the Lord every day for the independence of our children. That is, they're all different in their own way, and they are not all just from a cookie cutter, you know, exactly alike. But along with the differences go some really bold challenges. We need to be sure that we're teaching our children the importance of listening to us. You might, in some ways, accomplish obedience on the part of your children simply with the threat of bodily harm. Now, I'm a good illustration of the fact that a little bit of bodily harm is really good for you all along the way, properly used and administered. That's the way I was brought up, and that's the way I tried to bring my children up. It's a tried and proven method. But, you know, if that's all there is to it, just the fear of bodily harm, there comes a time when that no longer has any effect. We need to be teaching our children to listen to us. We need to teach them to listen to us, and we need to be sure that what we're wanting them to listen to is the right thing. Let's make sure what we're teaching them is what they really need. But let's make sure that we teach them the value of listening. And so, children, God says you must listen to your parents. You must respect your parents, even when they're old. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Then in Ephesians 6, he says that children must be obedient and must honor their parents. We're pretty good on that obedient part. We know exactly what that means. But what exactly does God mean? Even way back in the old day when God said, first of all, honor your father and mother. Well, it turns out that that word honor in the Old Testament language of Hebrew is a word that had, depending upon the context in which it was used, either a bad connotation or a good connotation. The bad connotation was it was so heavy that you couldn't carry it. The good connotation was something that you give great weight to. Let me just say there was a time when there was a phrase that was popular. Boy, that's heavy. John, you remember that? When somebody would say something and somebody else would say, oh boy, that's heavy. What that meant was in those days, that was strong. That's true. That's worth listening to. You know, kind of like E.F. Hutton when he talks, everybody listens. That concept of giving weight to something. And then from there, the extension of it is to be so valuable that it's heavy. That's the concept behind that term, honor. Honor your father and mother. Consider them to be valuable. Consider them to be above everything else. And then, of course, in the New Testament, from the Greek word that's translated into English, honor, it tends toward the same concept, but in more modern terms, that which is highly esteemed. Honor your father and mother. Obey them. Do what they tell you to do. But do so because you honor them, because you esteem them. And then not only that, but also from Colossians 3 verse 20, do so because doing all of this pleases God. And so God speaks to children and he says, fear the Lord. Listen to your parents. Respect them. Obey them. Honor them. Because all of this has God's very direct attention. This is not just some old rule that's been handed down tradition-wise through families and generations. This has God's attention focused on it. I wonder if perhaps we don't need to do a better job of teaching that aspect of it to our children as we teach them the general value of pleasing God. Teach them that God has a very direct and specific interest in how they respond to their parents. Now, before we close, there are a couple of other points that I really would like for us to consider in the matter of God's instruction to children. Kind of Well, a little bit unrelated to what we've said thus far, but there are a couple of things that I think need our attention. First is the matter of filial duty. Filial means responsibilities toward parents. God has a very specific interest in the filial duty that children have. God has addressed it many times. It's in the Old Testament. We'll take a look at a passage in the Old Testament in just a minute, but before we go there, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I believe it's about verse 3 or 4. Verse 4. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. There's a principle here behind what the Word says. We're talking about God's law regarding widows indeed. He says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. There's that phrase again, calling our attention to the fact that God has a very direct interest in this. This is something that God is looking at. And here in the case that we might even call it an isolated case of a widow who has no other means of support, except God says she does have another means of support. She's got children and grandchildren, and they have a God-given responsibility to take care of her. In fact, God is so serious about that that God says that she is not one who is to be supported by the church if she has children and grandchildren, because they have a responsibility. They have a duty. Notice the way that the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write it. Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Believe it or not, this was really a problem in Jesus' day. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, a passage that I referred to a few minutes ago in one of Jesus' discussion with the Jews of his day regarding the way that they were living and conducting themselves. And this comes right on the heels of what the Lord had said regarding their hypocrisy and the fact that they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men and leaving behind the commandment of God and holding on to their own traditions. And then the next verse, Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, 'Whatever you would have gained from me is korban,' that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down." And then Jesus said, "And many such things you do." In other words, this is not the only one. This is typical of the way that you're changing God's requirements to meet your own desires. Notice what Jesus says they were doing. If a man tells his father or his mother, "Whatever you would have gained from me is korban," that is, given to God. In other words, "Dear elderly parent, I would be taking care of you, but I've given all my money to the Lord. And therefore, that frees me of any responsibility that I might have." Notice how Jesus started out this conversation. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment. There is the heavy implication there of a carefully crafted scheme. In other words, you've got this all figured out, don't you? You've thought this thing through and you think you've got a fail-safe, a foolproof way of getting out of taking care of your parents in their years of need by claiming that you've given everything to God. We don't have to guess how the Lord felt about that and how God feels about that. Again, there's a principle contained here, just exactly as there is one in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul talks about the widows. Children have a duty to take care of their parents. A God-given duty. A duty that God is looking upon with great interest. Not only the filial duty, but there is also the point that I think we need to observe of individual accountability. I would have a difficult time remembering all of the occasions when someone has said to me, "Well, you know, that was the religion of my mama and daddy, and it's good enough for me. That old country church out there where I grew up in was good enough for mama, and you're not going to tell me that it's not good enough to get me right on into heaven with her." No matter what it was religiously that was being discussed. You know, there is an occasion where God makes a comment on that very attitude over in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Where God, through the prophet, is talking about the Israelites in the wilderness just after Moses led them out of Egypt. Listen to how God tells this. "And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." And he goes on and mentions a few other things. You know, it might not have occurred to everybody that one of the things that God even specifically identifies regarding those who were destroyed in the wilderness was the fact that they were literally walking in their father's footsteps and following the examples of their parents who were and had departed from God. God is not going to judge us on the basis of what was good enough for our parents or our loved ones. We're each held individually accountable to God to obey His will. Whether we're children or parents, whether we're young folks or middle-aged or old, or any other category, God is very interested in our individual accountability. And so, God has quite a bit to say, even to children. And so we'll continue to study more and more things that have to do with seeing beyond ourselves in order to be better family members. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, having been buried with Him in baptism? If not, there never will be a better time than right now to do that. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, you've been following yourself more than you've been following God. And if it has to do with public sin. You need to publicly acknowledge that and let it be known that you're not going to live that way any longer, and God has promised to forgive and to restore all of those who will come. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.